Well, we always get questions that come in from people that hear the podcast and have a lot of different scenarios that they run by Nick. And we decided we're going to bring a few of those to the show today and talk through them. So that's what's coming up next on Complete Estate Planning.
Do you know what will happen to your loved ones when something happens to you? If you don't know the answer or don't like the answer, then this is the show for you. Listen up as we teach you about protecting your family legacy through better estate planning. Our family is here to protect yours. So welcome to the Complete Estate Planning Podcast with attorney Nick Rosenbauer. And here's your host, Ben George.
Welcome in. Glad to have you. I'm Ben George with Nick Rosenbauer, estate planning attorney. He is the owner of the Rosenbauer Law Office in Westchester, Ohio. Find him online at CincinnatiEstatePlan.com. Nick, I like this. I don't know. Have we done a mailbag episode before? I don't think we have.
We've done one.
One, okay.
And got a lot of good response. And actually, since then, I've had a lot more questions submitted from listeners, frankly, from all across the country. So I've talked to a lot of people from all over, and frankly, I've had a few really good questions that got submitted here in the last couple months, and some of them are juicy. So we're going to go over a few of the best again today.
Yeah, if you ever have questions for Nick, you can always give him a call at 513-463-6789, or find him online at CincinnatiEstatePlan.com, and all these things again are actual. Scenarios that have come in. We're going to protect the innocent by leaving their names out of it, Nick. But I think it's good to kind of talk through some of these things because these are probably scenarios either you might have questions about yourself or find yourself in at some point. So hopefully this will help you out a little bit as we go through this. So again, if you have questions, CincinnatiEstatePlan.com. All right, well, let's jump into it, Nick. Here's our first one. I'm single and have no children, and the rest of my family is already self-sufficient. Nobody needs my money. I don't even know who I want to give it to. Do I have a big reason to have an estate plan? And even if I did, who would I leave everything to?
Isn't that wild to think about?
Well, you know, before you even answer that, I bet it's not that going to be that uncommon, right? It's more, I guess, fewer people are getting married until later, fewer couples are having kids. So it's probably a scenario that will come up even more and more as you move forward.
Yeah, so it sounds crazy, but I've run into this a lot with my own clients, and usually it is responsible young professionals who are not married or don't have kids yet, but they are the responsible go-getters. You know, they have their insurance figured out, their investments figured out, you know, they have a house, they have a great job, and then, you know, that sort of get it handled type person. But you run into this question, and obviously, Ben, you take it for granted, but, you know, if you were sitting here thinking, what do you want to have happen to your money, you have an easy built-in answer. Hey, my wife, my kids, right? Well, what if you didn't have that? So the question's not as silly as you would first think. The first thing I want to mention is, and I tell people in this instance, I think who you give the money to is not the top priority here. Now, we got to figure that out, of course, but what I say is making sure you are taken care of and that people are able to take care of you is the most important. And obviously, no, Ben, I know our listeners know we've talked a lot about, you know, incapacity planning, you know, powers of attorney, medical directives, allowing someone to handle things if you're sick. Our listeners obviously know all of that because we've spoken about it. But I tell people, you need to be looking out for yourself, making sure if you get sick, who can handle things, you know, who can make sure the bills get paid, who can talk to the doctor, because there's no given on that. And then after you pass away, you know, I tell them, I say the money has to go somewhere. And someone has to be in charge of it. So at the very least, and I will say this, Ben, when you're not dealing with your spouse or your kids, a lot of these people feel guilt for burdening someone, you know, kind of giving them a job to do to take care of them. And they say, well, you know, I could give that to my spouse or I could give that to my kids, but when I'm giving it to a brother or a parent or a friend, I feel guilty throwing that, you know, imposing that job on them. So a lot of times we talk as much about, how to make it as easy as possible for your power of attorney or executor or trustee versus who the money actually goes to. So we got to talk about that. And then the third thing is obviously we eventually have to decide how to answer this question. And it's usually extended family, friends, or charity, right? That's all we have left. Yeah. So it is either, and I tell them, I say, this is going to be an unexpected extra bonus for someone, okay? No one is expecting this from you. No one is counting on you. No one is relying on you. But someone's going to get an unexpected blessing, is that your siblings, your parents, your nieces and nephews, if your siblings have kids, friends. I've had people give it to good friends of theirs. I've had people say, well, I'm going to give it all to this person because he has agreed to step in and be my power of attorney if I got sick. Hmm. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have anything else. I will say a lot of these people are very philanthropic as well. A lot of charity discussions at this point. And sometimes you break it out under a number of different places. Hey, let me give some, you know, to my old high school. They got me where I was at. Maybe give some to my church. And maybe give the rest to my nieces and nephews. Okay, so we can do that. There are people. There's places to go with it. And I understand it's not the top priority of all this in a situation like that. But eventually we're going to put together a list, friends, extended family, charity, or a combination of the other. And we, you know, it has to go somewhere. So you might as well pick instead of let, you know, the county probate court rules pick. So that's typically where we go. But I think the big concern about who to give the money to, I think it's backwards. I think that's the lowest priority versus making sure you're taken care of. And whoever is entrusted to take care of you can do so easily and with minimal resistance.
Yeah, so getting that estate plan set up is important. And you can always change who that goes to, right? If in 10 or 15 years, all of a sudden you have a family member or someone that's close to you or a cause that's become important to you, you could always update that.
Of course. And I'm glad you mentioned that because I always have those, well, I need to figure out something now. Can I call you if I get married? Can I call you if I have kids? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But at the same time, we put something in place now, but understanding, you know, if you have a family or if something comes up, we can always adjust it if we need to. You're exactly right.
All right, very good. All right, let's go to a second question scenario here. We have helped some of our children and grandchildren during life with cars, college, expenses, down payments on houses, personal loans. We know that not everyone has received equal help, but we haven't kept score throughout our lives. You know where this is going.
Yeah.
We want things to be fair when we die without causing fighting. So what can we do at this point?
Well, you have to understand that everything cannot be equal, just, fair, and needs-based. You cannot make everything perfect here. Okay, so you have to pick one. Are we treating all of our kids the same, regardless of merit, regardless of need? Okay, are we treating it all based on need? In which case, you have one child who is really struggling, never finished school, doesn't have any money, and another child who kicked butt, got through school, you know, is a doctor, straight A's, and they don't need any money, so they don't get anything. You know, I will say there's two ways to go about it if you had kept score, and I like the way they phrase that, is you continue to keep score, and you do one of two things. You either say, forget it, it's all forgiven, and that's just life, and when we pass away, whatever's left, we split it equally no matter what happened while we were alive. These were gifts that we gave. The other option is squaring everything up, of course. Say, here's, you know, we're keeping a register, so to speak, and when we pass away, that gets squared up, so it's equal. I think the biggest thing to be worried about here is what is going to cause the least family drama, okay? And it almost seems like we're getting into politics here, you know, within the family. But it would be interesting, you know, to talk to these clients, to talk to these people and say, do you think there will be more unhappiness if you just divide everything else equally? And people say, wow, why are they getting an equal share when they got all this money from mom and dad extra during their life? Or do you think there'll be more unhappiness and more likelihood of fighting if they square it up or attempt to? I've had people put an estimate in and say, we don't know for sure, but Jimmy's share is going to be decreased by 10,000 and Sally's share will be decreased by 30,000. And that's just a ballpark. Okay, so that may be fair, but that'll probably, you know, make Jimmy and Sally pretty unhappy, I would guess, right? Yeah. So, you know, basically at this point, and I think a lot of it would depend on how big we're talking. If everyone's getting $1 million, I don't know that we need to fuss over a $5,000 gift to help buy a car, okay? But if one of the kids has gotten $300,000 for their house because they live out in L.A., oh boy, Ben, I think that needs to be addressed. I think that's the volume on that's pretty high. And I'll tell you this, I tell people, I say, talk to the kids and maybe you talk to them from the standpoint of, we're trying to figure this out. This is what we're struggling with. What do you think? Or almost asking permission without doing it, but saying, hey, we're thinking about doing this and squaring things up. How do you feel about that? And it's not so much asking your kids permission, because you can do whatever you darn well please. But it's more a comfort to you in saying it out loud and looking at your kids and their reaction and them saying, I understand, it'll be okay. Do whatever you need to do. It's your money. So I don't like using it, but I have people communicate with the kids and almost get permission or almost get a comfort level understand. And this sounds weird, Ben, but some people want the approval of what they're doing from their kids.
Yeah, doesn't sound that weird, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't need it. Right. But they will say, hey, I will feel better and more comfortable with this having talked to my kids and knowing I've looked my golden child in the eye, the one who didn't need any help, and told them what I'm doing, and they said, Mom, it's okay. Dad, it's okay. I'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. So it's almost like giving them the comfort to say, I'm going to do it this way, and I am more confident now that my kids won't get mad at each other or mad at me. Okay, because you notice here, Ben, and again, I haven't, you know, all the details, but from the question, sounds like the biggest thing they're worried about is causing fighting. Okay, yeah, so I think like they, yeah, I think they test the water. And that's what I would do. I would say, communicate with the kids and say, here's what I'm thinking. And tell them why. You know, lay out your thought process on it. Now, I will say this, Ben. The responsible kid usually gets screwed here, okay? Just being upfront with you.
Nice guy finishes last.
You got it. Yep. It is usually the responsible, selfless child who is the one telling the parent, Mom, don't worry about it. Dad, don't worry about it. I'm okay. I don't need your money. You do whatever you want. I will be okay. Because they've already kind of accepted it. Versus the child who had gotten extra help, you know, coming to them saying, hey, I'm cutting your inheritance by $300,000 because you borrowed money from me 21 years ago when you bought your house. Remember how you said you were going to pay me back and never did? You know, usually they're the ones, surprisingly, who have the pitchfork and are up in arms about it. And again, not always, but under most instances, if they care about peace, talk to the kids individually or as a group and test the waters. And it's usually the responsible kid, the one who's going to end up with the short end of the stick, who says, Mom, Dad, it's okay. And that's usually what ends up happening. So again, obviously you figure it out with the kids and see where they're at. But if the main thing is to avoid fighting, So that would be my recommendation.
All right, very good. Going through some mailbag questions that have come in to Nick over time, and thought we'd bring some of the better ones here to share and to answer and talk through with Nick and kind of give you a peek into his process at the Rosenbauer Law Office. Again, if you have questions, 513-463-6789, or find them online at CincinnatiEstatePlan.com. All right, here's another one, Nick, a little dicey here. One of our siblings was caught stealing money from our dad and taking advantage of him. Luckily, we figured it out and caught her, but we want to make sure Dad's estate plan is bulletproof, but we are afraid that she's going to cause all sorts of problems and challenge whatever he puts in place and come after our inheritance. So what's the safest way to stop that?
Oh, boy. I've dealt with this multiple times. You would think people wouldn't steal from their own parents, but there's scumbags out there.
Yeah.
So first off, I will say this. And we've talked about this before, so any of our listeners who are longtime listeners, you already know the answer here. But anytime you use a last will and testament to provide an inheritance plan, goes through probate, all the next of kin, all the family are notified as a matter of law, and there are special steps in place. If someone wanted to challenge or cause a fuss, they can have their day in court in most circumstances. So I will tell you, if you are worried about, like, if you don't want this person to be able to cause a fuss, do not send anything through probate under any circumstance. That is the first thing I will tell you, do not do. And I don't care if you have to set up a trust just for one bank account with $50,000 in it, do it. If it costs you $3,000-$4,000 for setting up a will, or I don't know, whatever it is, you'll pay 10 times that in attorney's fees, defending a will contest. Okay, so just don't set up a last will and testament and probate this, because that is the easiest way for them to cause a fuss. A trust is a great way, and if you set it up right, and of course it depends on the state, some states, Ohio is one of them, allow you to put special protections in place that basically prohibit someone from or punish someone for trying to challenge or throw a monkey wrench into things. It's known as a no contest clause.
Okay.
So that's what we do for all of ours. Ohio allows it. So a trust is a bulletproof way to go about it. A direct beneficiary designations will work here as well. Okay, so, and I was about to say Fidelity IRA, but have we ever secured our Fidelity sponsorship?
No, I'm still waiting to hear back on that.
Okay, all right. Well, call them again and tell them if they don't hurry up, I'm going to start using a different custodian on my show.
All right,
I'll give them one more week. So, okay. But anyway, so if you have a Fidelity IRA, right, and you just name a child as the beneficiary, then you pass away. All they have to do is call Fidelity, send in the death certificate and the claim form. No probate, no trust, nothing. And Fidelity will send the money right to them. So it can bypass everything. So I love trust in this instance. And kind of an underrated one, even though they're not perfect, because there's not a lot of fail-safes or backup plans, direct beneficiaries can be a fast pass or an express lane on this too. So I like both of those. Obviously, it depends on the assets. Okay, so IRAs, life insurance, that's easy to put beneficiaries on, things like that. Houses, gold bars, stock certificates, businesses, bank accounts, cars, a lot of that's different. But yeah, I use one of those two. There are ways around it. Also, make sure when you're putting this together, everything is on the up and up. Okay? Sign everything in the lawyer's office. Don't have the lawyer mail it to you, because then who knows? Like, you want the lawyer in there. Ben, actually, when we have people sign, we kind of joke about it, but we have certain questions we specifically ask all of our clients, just to kind of protect ourselves and make sure that they're making sense. Like, we joke.
Like what?
Like, what would be? Well, like, we joke when we're going through documents, you know, hey, Nick and Alicia, you know, when we kind of walk through the beginning of the plan, like, are you guys still married, by the way? And then they laugh, but right. they say yes. Have you had any more kids in the last few weeks? Ha, 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 no. I'm like, do you still claim the two you got here? And then, you know, it's part of a look at it and make sure everything looks good. But also, if someone says, no, I'm not married, that's a big red flag. Or you don't remember how many kids you have. And I know this sounds bad, but, you know, that's a big red flag for competency issues. So we have a special process, and we don't make people feel awkward about it, but we ask certain specific questions as we go along through part of the process and make sure, you know, that they're telling us, yep, still married, still have three kids. That's my son. That's who I picked to be in charge. Okay, so, and good attorneys should be doing that. Okay, so I would do that, avoid the will, avoid anything going to probate, no matter the cost. And I would also make sure a professional is explaining and witnessing and notarizing. Okay, so there's no excuse of impropriety or, hey, he just took my mom who had dementia to the bank, propped her up like it was weekend at Bernie's, and the teller at the bank notarized it, but we have no idea that they know what the heck they were talking about. Okay, so I would bulletproof it from that standpoint and have professionals walk through it and explain it. Don't use LegalZoom. Add this to the list of reasons not to use LegalZoom. Okay, because right. you can have a professional who, if they ever had to go up on the witness stand, say, well, here's the way it works. Here's the way I ask questions. Here's how it worked in the meeting. And we always ask these questions to make sure they know what's going on in the final meeting. Okay, so I'm just preparing yourself for a fight that you hope never happens.
Yeah, that's a lot of it is preparing people for what's ahead, right?
And what can happen. 100%. 100%. Yeah. So I would do that, avoid probate under any no matter what, and then I would utilize a professional attorney for this, you know, even more than all the reasons we've obviously talked about, just so you can say they did it, they walked through it, they have a process, they know what they're doing, they witnessed and notarized it, and they have a process to make sure mom wasn't drunk or someone was holding a gun to her head when they did it. That's going to protect you.
All right. All right, Nick, we got one more scenario here
All right.
to throw by you. My mom is getting older, and I'm helping her with her finances already. I know it would be heartbreaking for her to turn everything over to me and give up her independence. Is there any way an estate plan can allow me to do what needs to be done without completely cutting her out of her own affairs?
Yeah, this is a psychological, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but this is a how can I handle things, you know, without hurting their feelings. This is like, you know, when do you take the keys away from mom for her car?
Right.
Right? So this is tough, okay? But I've done a few things in the past because we've had this concern many times. And I like to come up with options where it is not me or you. There is one key to the house and only one of you can have it. Okay? You make two keys. So what do I mean by that? You can have someone who is still mentally competent even though they're slipping or they just want help. Powers of attorney are helpful in this instance, you know, for finances. And you can have it to where your power of attorney is allowed to sign checks, pay bills, take the genie card, you know, write checks, what have you. That doesn't automatically mean you are cut off. So it's basically you can be you and your power of attorney can also be you at the same time. Okay, so that allows me to step in and help without saying, hey, mom, I'm disconnecting your Wi-Fi, I'm taking away your laptop, I'm uninstalling the apps from the smartphone, you know, anything like that. So you can make it to where you can act and they can act at the same time. Okay, so that's one good thing. Another item to look at, if a trust is appropriate, and it's not always appropriate, but if a trust is appropriate, maybe have someone as a current co-trustee with you. So, you know, instead of just saying mom's in charge, if she dies or gets sick, then I step in. Or just saying, hey, mom, you're not in charge. I'm in charge right now. Why don't you make it to where mom or child could be in charge? Okay, so that's kind of like the power of attorney of a trust, if you want to call it that. So that's another thing I've done where someone names one of their children usually as a current co-trustee right now. So you're not taking away their independence. You're not firing them from their own, you know, control of their own trust. But you're also saying this person can be a co-trustee and they can help out when needed. So instead of taking away the key to the car, you're going to Home Depot and making an extra copy of the key so that your child can also use it as well. Okay, so it sounds like without hurting anyone's feelings or cutting them off, I think you just give another person access. You know, powers of attorney are great for that if you do them right. And if you're utilizing a trust, have one of the kids be a current acting co-trustee with you instead of an all or nothing where it's either you or it's me. So there's ways around it, I think, without causing problems or too much heartbreak.
All right. Great information. Good to know. And scenarios that are not that uncommon. So we wanted to share them here so you could hear what some of the options are. How do you go about addressing these things and how Nick can help you with that. Again, if you have questions, you can always call 513-463-6789. You can send your questions to Nick that way or online at CincinnatiEstatePlan.com. We appreciate you listening as always, and always encourage you to send some feedback. If you enjoy the show, just have questions, anything you want to hear us address, any of that is always welcome. So we always appreciate your support. Nick, thanks for the time and enjoy this mailback episode. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was great. And by the way, for all of our listeners, thanks for sending in the questions. We love them. We do our best. I know we get a lot, so we do our best, at least through email or something. I try to get to all of them. But yeah, keep them coming. You know, you can do that. You can email them into us. There's a contact us thing on the website. That's the best way. But yeah, thank you to all the listeners. We would not have all these questions without you giving us great questions. So certainly keep them coming, keep subscribing, and we'll talk to you soon.
The Complete Estate Planning Podcast is brought to you by the Rosenbauer Law Office, based in Westchester, Ohio, and serving the entire Cincinnati area. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app today and never miss an episode. Just search for Complete Estate Planning with Nick Rosenbauer to find us, or visit CincinnatiEstatePlan.com to listen to past episodes, to contact Nick, and to learn more about protecting your family legacy. That's CincinnatiEstatePlan.com.
This show is for informational purposes only and does not provide any legal advice. Information on this show may not constitute the most up-to-date legal information. Please do not act or refrain from acting based solely on anything you hear on this show. This show does not form any attorney-client relationship with the Rosenbauer Law Office, LLC. Please seek the counsel of a qualified attorney before addressing your own estate planning needs.